This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Tuesday's headlines when we begin in the U.S. Senate, where today the big story is not the health care debate, but the ongoing stalemate over the extension of unemployment benefits and furloughed federal workers, particularly construction workers. At issue, of course, is the hold placed on legislation by Kentucky Republican Senator Jim Bunning, who says he's not about to support a $10 billion measure unless it's paid for. Bunning says just days ago, Democrats were crowing about the passage of PAYGO, pay-as-you-go legislation, meaning no spending measure could be approved unless lawmakers actually found the money to pay for it.
It's really hypocritical of the Democratic side of this aisle passing a PAYGO bill. What does the PAYGO mean? It means that you pay for the bills as they appear on the floor of the U.S. Senate.
Bunning also says Democrats are demagoguing the issue because he's just one voice against it. If they really wanted this approved as soon as possible, he could call a vote.
File cloture, fill the tree, and vote yay or nay. Get the 60 votes, pass the bill, and extend these temporary benefits.
Democrats are pointing to Senator Bunning as an example of what they call Republicans being the party of no, and many Republicans are feeling the heat, especially some of the more liberal ones like Maine's Susan Collins.
I hope that we can act together for the American people. And again, I want to emphasize that this issue is so important to senators on both sides of the aisles.
For his part, Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid says that he wants to know where Bunning suddenly found this passion for making sure every initiative is paid for. He says he didn't see that a lot from the Kentucky senator during the Bush years.
Now, my friend talks about the debt. He wants to make sure that the debt doesn't go up. Where was he during the Bush years? Unpaid wars, two wars unpaid for, taxes unpaid for, running up trillions of dollars of red ink for the American people.
Another government agency is staring at increasing debt as far as the eye can see unless some major changes are approved. That would be the U.S. Postal Service. Today, Postmaster General John Potter says that major cuts need to be made, including his recommendation for the end of Saturday delivery service, in order for the post office to see its way out of this ocean of red ink.
With the number of deliveries continuing to grow and the cost of labor, fuel, facilities, and equipment on the rise, the Postal Service is facing a severe income gap that we absolutely have to close.
It's a crisis of another kind in South America as the nation of Chile is trying to pick up the pieces following Saturday's 8.8 magnitude earthquake, one of the largest and most powerful earthquakes ever recorded, 500 times more powerful than the 7.0 magnitude quake that leveled Port-au-Prince, Haiti. On Tuesday, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton arriving and promising help where help is needed.
The United States is ready to respond to the requests that the government of Chile has made so that we can provide not only solidarity, but specific supplies that are needed to help you recover from the earthquake.
At least 700 people killed in that earthquake on Saturday, but many, many more are missing. Also a big problem, looting. And the government says it is cracking down on those who are engaged in that looting. Government curfews have remained in place since the earthquake on Saturday. Back here at home on the domestic front, President Obama pushing his energy reforms. Talking today in Savannah, Georgia, the president says we are looking towards creating green jobs, and he described what those jobs would consist of.
These are jobs building more fuel-efficient cars and trucks to make us energy independent. These are jobs producing solar panels and erecting wind turbines. These are jobs designing and manufacturing and selling and installing more efficient building materials.
But the centerpiece of the Obama energy agenda, of course, is his cap-and-trade legislation, which is apparently hopelessly lost in the U.S. Senate. Many critics say that he's just calling for huge tax increases that would burden the American family, particularly low-income families. On to the health care front now, and on Wednesday, President Obama is expected to unveil his slightly changed health care reform plan, which will be supposedly a scaled-down version of the Senate bill, which is awaiting approval in the House of Representatives. Tennessee Senator Lamar Alexander spoke over the weekend on the health care debate on ABC's This Week program. He says President Obama should take a cue from what President Bush did wrong in 2005 during the Social Security debate.
I was thinking this morning of President George W. Bush when he tried so hard to have private accounts for Social Security. He thought he was right. He pushed, he pushed, and he pushed. If he'd stopped about halfway through and shifted, he could have probably gotten the bipartisan agreement on Social Security. I think President Obama could learn from that.
For more analysis of what we're likely to see in the president's health care plan, check my full interview with Iowa Congressman Steve King, which can be found at worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. King says the president may make some modest changes in order to attract a few more votes, but he says the fundamental bill is still a toxic stew, and he says he can't think of a single Republican who could actually think about voting for the bill in its basic form. Congressman King and I also talking about the marriage debate right here in Washington, D.C. The D.C. City Council approving gay marriage late last year, and so far Congress hasn't done a thing to block the law, even though they have the power to do so. Opponents have been pushing for a citywide referendum on the definition of marriage, but that has been blocked, even though the right of the citizens to call for a referendum is in the city charter. Back to national politics now, and New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand just dodged a bullet because former Tennessee Congressman Harold Ford Jr., who has since moved to the Empire State, has decided not to challenge Gillibrand in the Senate primary later this year. Speaking on MSNBC's Morning Joe program, the former congressman from Tennessee says that he decided not to do it because he doesn't want to hurt the Democratic Party in what will already be a very difficult year. But he says Senator Gillibrand's going to have a problem because people in the state don't know her and will blame her for every problem coming out of Washington and New York State Capitol.
I promise you, voters across this state, from upstate to downstate, I spent 7 weeks traveling and listening and learning. And I can assure you, voters don't know the junior senator. They can't name a single positive outcome from her, which means one simple thing. She will be labeled for the failures of Washington, the failures of Albany.
Speaking later to MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell, Senator Gillibrand says the bottom line is... Ford isn't running because he knows he can't win.
Well, only Harold Ford knows why he's not running, but I don't think there was a path for victory there for him.
That's a look at Tuesday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.